What's up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with hosts Tyler Gunther, John Bosch, Doug Eddy to bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty Fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right into it with Tyler, John, and Doug with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. Woo! It's been a crazy week. We've got some Senior Bowl coverage for you this week. We had a Dynasty Happy Hour mock draft that we did. So we are going to give you some great content this week. But first, I want to say hello to my co-hosts, Tyler Gunther and John Bosch. John, how you doing? You just had a nice workout, I heard.
I did. I'm doing well. I feel really good right now. It's always fun to get an extra little workout in when you don't expect it, when you're trying to win a weight loss competition with a couple of guys, Jake Anderson and Chris Svoboda.
Very nice. Tyler, how you doing? You're also on a diet, if I'm under the assumption, correct?
Yeah, it's going. I mean, I have been on the treadmill a couple times at break at work. And
the Laquan treadmill?
Yes. And let's just say it is the worst feeling in the world when I used to be able to just step off and it was just whatever. Now it's actually taking work to get off of the treadmill because I'm so tired. But yeah, we'll get there.
There you go. This is actually the team weight loss podcast now because I hit a milestone this week. I hit 50 pounds lost.
All right. So nice. Good job, Doug.
Thank you. I weighed in a couple days ago. I'm down to 280. My goal has always been 250, but 50 pounds is a pretty nice number. So I'm pushing past that. I actually went to a spin class this morning. If you've never been to a spin class before, it was pretty intense. I'm not going to lie.
I've seen
my quads already hurt.
I mean, I've seen commercials on it, and even the commercials are probably mild compared to what actually happens.
Yeah. So just to give you a quick recap, so I get in there. I went with a friend of mine. My quads were already kind of sore from a leg workout 2 days ago, and I went to the gym and went on the treadmill yesterday. So I get in there, and I'm like, yeah, this won't be too bad. So they do this whole thing where you're like, you're sitting down, you start. It's like, all right, well, get to, 90 RPMs. So it's not too bad. Like, I can handle that. And then they crank up the resistance. They crank up the RPMs. You get up to, 125, and I'm like, oh, boy. And then there's parts where you have to stand up and pedal, and my quads were already hurting so bad that I only stood up for maybe, 30% of the time because my body just wouldn't handle it. But, hey, you know what? I got to the spin class and I made it through the 45 minutes. I did 10 miles on the bike. So achievement unlocked. That's all I'm going to say.
Good job.
And I'm not a morning person. I got up at 7 o'clock. I drove 45 minutes to meet a friend there. And it was worth it. I gotta say.
Morning workouts are the worst. I can't do them.
I'm not a morning person. I'm a night owl. I'm up till 12, 1 o'clock every morning, and I get up at 7:45 to get my son ready for school. So getting up at 7, I was like, ugh. But anywho, congrats, guys. I think we're doing an awesome job. We're Team Yogurt over here. We won't get into those details maybe on another podcast.
John shaking his head.
He's like, no. So just to frame up the podcast for you, we are brought to you by the Sit or Start Fantasy app. So make sure you check that out. Jason would love you to do that. And you can do that on the Google Play Store or the iTunes App Store. So we're going to frame up some stuff. We're going to talk a little bit of Senior Bowl action first. So some risers, fallers, some takeaways, things that we saw as we watch the Reese's Senior Bowl. And you know what made me jealous is that Reese's. So I've recently developed a peanut sensitivity, in the air. So my wife was making a peanut butter sandwich for my son last weekend. There was an open jar of peanut butter, and I was 2 feet away, and my eyes started to bug out, which stinks because I'm watching the Senior Bowl, and all I want to do is eat a goddamn Reese's peanut butter cup. But I can't. So anywho, I digress. So we're going to cover Senior Bowl, and then we are going to go into the first couple rounds of our Dynasty Happy Hour mock draft that we did this past week, which was finally up and running and a success after we had to kind of delete some jokers that were trying to get in there. So we'll go over some of the results from that. So let's kick it off with some Senior Bowl talk. Senior Bowl was in Mobile, Alabama. It was on Saturday. I sent out a tweet just to remind you to record it and to watch it. So hopefully you did that, especially if you're into this draft class. There was quite a bit of talent in this game. Offensively, a good wide receiver class. There were some good running backs that, some of the names that. And then quarterbacks, were pretty deep as well. So let's kick it off. Tyler, give me one of your observations from the Senior Bowl. Give me a riser. Who did you, when you watched, who did you come away saying, like, I liked what I saw?
So I was not a fan of Rashad Penny coming into the game. I was like, I don't see it. I watched some tape. Just wasn't for me. I don't know what happened, but man, did he look good. And the comps are now like Kareem Hunt, because Kareem Hunt kind of came out of nowhere this past year. I know he had his truthers.
And he came out of nowhere in the Senior Bowl.
Yeah. So it's, you know, you're going to have the observation like, oh, Kareem Hunt, this could be the next. Yeah, all the signs are there. But man, 9 for 64 and one catch for 73 yards and a touchdown. And that catch and run was nice. Like,
well, that throw was nice. Yeah. Hashtag nice. Well, that throw on the run moving left, like the way he hit that angle. Like, I played quarterback in flag football for years, and that was a nails throw.
Yeah, and the thing is, let's be honest. The North quarterbacks were nothing compared to the South. Or no, oh, the yeah. North. The North was better than
no,
the South.
No, North was good. South was bad.
Yes. And
well, not
it was,
bad, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, Rashad Penny rose up my board in a huge way. And I am sorry. Like, I was wrong. I like the guy. And I was wrong about Kareem Hunt, and I'm not going to make the same mistake. What'd they say, John, in the office? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, strike three.
Yeah, I definitely liked what I saw out of Penny. You know, he's got the college profile as a workhorse back. I think he can pretty much do it all. I mean, he showed nice hands in that game, but he didn't catch many passes in his collegiate career. But Penny looked really, really good. He looked explosive, the speed, the top end speed. You know, he had one run on the left-hand side of the line. He went up the near sideline, and he created some separation. You know, he ended up getting caught by the safety, but the safety took a nice angle on it. But yeah, I liked Rashad Penny quite a bit.
And one more thing I want to add. I love his short strides. Like, I don't know what it is. He, for how big of a guy he is, his strides are so tiny and they're quick. And I don't know. I think that helps his agility in the open field and acceleration. I don't think his top speed is quite there, but yeah, I mean, he's got the goods.
Yeah, it was. He's not a penny loafer, if you will.
Oh,
John shaking his head. Yes, the first John shaking his head moment.
I think that's like the third by now, actually.
Probably. Well, the yogurt was like the first one, but that's funny. I'm going to give you one of mine as a riser. And he's my guy, so I'm taking this one, and you guys can go pound sand. It's Kalen Ballage.
He was on top of my list, but I actually gave him to you because I knew he was going to.
I just actually acquired a signed Kalen Ballage Senior Bowl picture that is going to go in my collection, because that's how my flag is planted in Kalen Ballage in this offseason. So I know he's a hotly debated topic on Twitter. So if you follow a lot of people on draft Twitter, you've seen a lot of positive reviews this week out of Senior Bowl practices. You know, a lot of people didn't really know, like, yes, we know he's a physical freak. We know he's probably going to run a 4.4, maybe even faster. He's big. He's 6'3". He's 225. Like, he's a freak. And everyone knows that, but at Arizona State, they didn't really use him at all this year. And the tape that I watched, it was maddening how they used him, or they were on long drives and he wouldn't even be in the game. So, you know, I think Kalen Ballage, much like an Alvin Kamara last year, like, Tennessee didn't really use him all that well. And I think we're in a similar situation with Kalen Ballage. And he looked great in the Senior Bowl game. I know one of the runs he had was, like, I could have run through it pretty successfully. But the way he finished off his runs with power was really impressive to me. His pad level was low for a guy at 6'3". He wasn't an overly upright runner, which was nice to see. You know, usually when a guy's that tall, like an Eddie George, you know, they stay tall. But Ballage got small when he needed to and lowered his pad level to hit defenders. And I'd like to see that quite a bit. I think that he's got the skill set to be a three-down back in the NFL. Now, I don't know if he's going to be that, because there are so few three-down backs in the NFL, because we have such a wealth of talent at the position, especially with this draft class. but he would be perfect for me in a situation. I always kind of bring it back to Philadelphia. So if Philadelphia moves on to some different pieces and they go with Jay Ajayi and Kalen Ballage, that could be like the NFC East versions of Ingram and Kamara, and I would love to see that. But I think Ballage's draft stock is definitely going up, and I think once the combine hits, it's even going to get higher because he is going to test well in a lot of the physical measurables. And he's got wide receiver hands. He runs beautiful routes. Like, he's an offensive weapon if you've ever seen one. And I think that that's going to intrigue a lot of NFL teams. So his stock for me was on the rise just due to what we saw in practices. But then in the actual game itself, like, a lot of people knock his vision, which is one of the things we heard about David Johnson when he came out, was that, oh, well, he's a converted wide receiver and he doesn't have great vision. And then, you know, Johnson, there was a lot of people that were fans of Johnson when he came out in the draft. And he obviously ended up being the RB1 2 years ago with 20 touchdowns. Now, I don't know if Kalen Ballage is that, but I can see that type of upside. You know, to me, is he going to be David Johnson or is he going to be CJ Procise? Like, if he's somewhere in between, I'm happy with that.
No, I'm going to go back to the vision part. That is what I wanted to see in the game. And he showed me vision between the tackles. I mean,
agreed.
There was a lot of plays where it was his own blocking scheme. And I think that's what he needs. And I mean, he showed vision. I mean, the line was pushing left. He found the hole between the tackle and guard on the right side and took off.
Yeah, and I mean, I've watched tape on Ballage, and there was some times at Arizona State where I could see where people would say his vision wasn't good. There was one, I was watching something on Draft Breakdown, I forget which game it was, and there was a clear path to the left, and he chose to run into contact on the right. So it's stuff like that. And, you know, people like, oh, you can't learn that. It's just instinct. Like, okay, sure. I mean, we all make mistakes. Maybe, you know, maybe it wasn't in his peripheral, whatever. I just, based on his skill set, talent, and everything, Ballage to me is big time riser.
Yeah, I mean, Alvin Kamara skill set in the size of Adrian Peterson. Like,
yeah,
I'll take that.
I'll go with the physical this and maybe you know, he's one of those outliers that doesn't have the college production, but he's successful at the next level, and I totally believe that he's going to do that. So John, talk to me. Who you got on your risers list for the Senior Bowl?
Okay, so I won't claim to have any clue how to break down film, anything like that.
That's fine.
I don't. I do watch games. I enjoy them. I try to form my own opinion, but I do also like to listen to what everybody else is saying. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of watch players and see if I agree or disagree. That's the take I go at, because I know that I am not a freaking professional scout. I will never claim to be that. And a guy that actually didn't have a great game, but based on the reports that I read of his practices, I did get to watch a little bit of the practice that they put on NFL Network, which is nice. But it's probably way different from actually being there. I assume really getting to watch it. I started to feel more comfortable about a guy that I think will be there for a late pick or later pick, Deshaun Hamilton. Like, started to hear his name a little bit more, started to look at him, and I kind of liked him. Then, of course, he didn't have a great game, so, which is good. That might end up, you know, if that's the only thing that people watched and saw him go out there, drop the pass, and that's it, that's their only impression,
keep,
that's good.
Keep his name low.
Exactly. Maybe they'll just write him off, but everything I read as I was trying to follow the week was that Deshaun Hamilton was having a really good practice, good practice sessions. So he's a name that I have kind of started to store away just to keep track of him.
How many leagues are we in, John?
See what happens between now and rookie draft.
How many leagues are we in together?
I have no idea. Because, probably three or four.
Because
or five
I've had my eyes on this guy for like 3 weeks. And so just pre-warning you.
You are way ahead of me in rookie prep. I, at this point, am barely getting to know, like, second-round guys, and this is where I start to go a little bit further past that, and I don't know. He's probably not a second-round guy.
No, I think...
Maybe
no.
not.
I think he's more of a late third, fourth-round guy.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
But could rise. Which is fine. Could rise with a nice combine, absolutely. You know, much how we saw, like, well, I mean, Godwin definitely helped himself with the combine, or like a Galladay, you know, guys like that last year that, you know, they had a little bit of buzz in some of the inner circles. And then once the combine hit and people saw them, the masses saw them, then their stock started to rise. So I could definitely see that for a Deshaun Hamilton happening here. So Tyler, let's go back to you. Give me another one. Actually, you know what? Let's do some fallers. Who did you have slip a little bit?
Josh Allen. And I had optimistic hope for him. I like the size, prototypical. The thing that bugs me is Doug and I were talking off, you know, before the show. In his drop step, he's got a hitch. It's a shortened step almost to where he shortens up his last drop. And I don't know if it's because he's nervous for pressure. And I'm going to go to that because in moving the sticks with DJ and Bucky Brooks, they actually had an interview with him. And, you know, they asked him, like, why don't you go through your progressions? And, you know, what's the deal on that? Why do you only go through a progression or two? And he said his offensive line wasn't good, so he downgraded the offensive line. And then he said since high school, he was seeing bullets, and he would use his athleticism to escape the pocket to make sure it was a positive play. So it's either first, second read, or he's running because he literally said he sees bullets.
And that's exactly what you saw in the second quarter of that game.
Yes.
Is he was tucking and running. He would make one, maybe two reads, and then he got scared, and then he would start to roll out.
Now, he did say that is something he really needs to work on. So he's admitted his flaws, and you never know. But that kind of thing with a quarterback, you know, him saying it's stuck with him since high school, I mean, that is something that scares the crap out of me. And, I mean, he's got the size. They all say Carson Wentz. Oh, and Carson Wentz did the same thing in North Dakota. But, I mean, it's you can't comp the two. And I fear for Josh Allen because of that and that little hitch step he has on his back and his five-step drops, six, seven. I mean, I think it's all because he's trying to get ready for that pressure. And it's in his head. And I fear that it might not get fixed. Now, I am going to, because I got a lot of people, I'm going to go to a riser, and it's Baker. I loved.
Wait, can we wait? Can Doug and I weigh in on Josh Allen? I'm curious Doug's thoughts.
So my thoughts on Josh Allen.
He's polarizing, so I'd like to hear all of us.
So I think, I know Mike Mayock likes to use the term arm talent. So he actually showed some touch on some of the throws, which is something that I didn't necessarily know was, you know, maybe in his wheelhouse. I think that he's got a strong arm, and I think that the NFL scouts and GMs fall in love with QBs with strong arms. We've seen it. Kyle Bowler, Jamarcus Russell. Like, oh, this kid's got a cannon. Let's draft him. To me, I wasn't overly impressed. I mean, I know he had a nice second half, but just my initial reaction watching him in this game was he doesn't, like Tyler said, he doesn't have the ability to make the proper read. He's not confident in his ability in the pocket. So he starts to roll out because that's something that's ingrained in his head is I can make plays with my legs, but I can't make accurate tight throws with my arm. And that's something that would bother me as an NFL scout. Like, hey, the raw talent's there, but the raw talent very rarely hits in the NFL. I mean, we've seen so many quarterbacks get drafted and not pan out because they have Ryan Mallett. Oh, like he's got great arm talent. Like, okay, but he's got bricks in his head, you know? So for Allen, he's a project. I think if a team's going to spend a first round pick on him, hopefully he doesn't get thrust into like, well, you're going to start year one. He might need a couple years to be seasoned. That's the way that I look at him. I didn't come away like overly impressed in his performance. John, what did you think?
So my take on it is I don't actually care if he wants to run. Like if he goes through one or two progressions and then takes off in the NFL from a fantasy perspective, I'm good with that. I like that. I want him to go run, get 5 yards. That's points for me. I'd rather him do that than stay in.
But don't you think he puts don't you think he puts himself more of an at risk for an injury? We saw that with RG3.
Yeah, but every single quarterback that stands in the pocket and gets hit by a 300-pound lineman coming 85 miles an hour at him also is at risk. So
if you can show me a 300-pound lineman that runs 85 miles an hour, well, I will be very impressed.
Perhaps those are exaggerated stats.
I know.
Measurements. I think, you know, I don't try to factor in injury just because I think it's there for every single NFL player.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you know, anybody can get their leg rolled up on at any time and be out for the season. So, sure, maybe he puts himself more at risk for being able to run if he does, but that's not something I really factor in. So just from a strictly fantasy perspective, if he goes somewhere and he does get thrust in, I am okay with him taking off in year one. If he does it and he gets me points, I will get rid of him as fast as possible because I don't think it's a long-term success. Like, an NFL quarterback has to be able to stay in the pocket. We've seen that over and over and over, that just guys that rely only on running just don't, they just don't keep the job.
Right.
The NFL just doesn't want
they
that.
They have to be able to make the throws. That's what it comes down to.
So short term, I think he's a guy that actually he might come in and be okay from a fantasy perspective. This is the argument that we have about like Blake Bortles all the time. Like, he scores points fantasy, but he's not nobody likes him as a quarterback. So he's
a top 10 QB like two out of the last 3 years, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I will take that production from a guy, even if he's not the most talented NFL quarterback. I don't really care. Like, that doesn't matter to me. I don't care how his NFL career goes. I care about how he puts up points for my fantasy team.
Yeah.
That's how I look at Josh Allen. So I'll probably get him in super flex drafts or auctions for cheaper than expected. Like, I'm okay with that.
Now, my word of advice to Cleveland, you already have Josh Allen. His name is DeShone Kizer.
No. Yeah, if he goes to Cleveland, I don't want him.
Like, literally, he is the same quarterback, a guy who feels pressure, will tuck it, but man, when he gets a pocket, he can sling it, and that is what Cleveland already has. And I hope they give Kizer another chance, but I doubt it. And I'd love Alex Smith to go to Cleveland, them not even draft a quarterback. Keep Kizer, because Kizer has maybe not the exact arm talent as Josh Allen, because Josh Allen has crazy arm talent, like nuts. But Kizer's close, so. Yeah, I am interested to see how that draft will turn out.
Absolutely. I'm going to give you guys one of my risers. I'm going to leave one of them for Tyler because I think he's going to be on his list because I'm a nice guy. So I'm going to do that for him. So I'm going to give you another quarterback. This is Kyle LaLetta. Oh. Bet you probably never heard that name before. And
you know, I had written down only quarterbacks. Like, now I have to figure out another position.
Nice. He is the owner of the cool spider helmet out of the University of Richmond. It's pretty awesome.
I thought it was University of Spider-Man.
I think so. Peter Parker, you. PPU. So this kid, I mean, I didn't know anything about this guy going in and seeing him. And I was like, oh, he opened my eyes. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm seeing some things that I like here. Doing some more research on him. Someone wrote a great article about why he's going to be the next Patriots quarterback. Because it makes complete, sorry, John. It makes complete sense. You know, he's a Navy kid. He plays lacrosse. Like, that's Bill Belichick is like dribbling down his pants to draft this kid because he shares the same interests. So don't be surprised with the second pick or the second round pick that the Pats got from the Niners when they take this kid. That's all I'm saying. But he looked really good, and he's got comps to Jimmy G. It all makes sense.
You really
to
think
me.
He goes? You think he goes second round?
He rose because in the scouting, from what I've heard and read down there, he has had outstanding practices. People have tagged him as a guy with tons of talent and a guy that is going to go earlier than expected. And it's funny that you mentioned the Patriots because I heard that on two separate scouting episodes. I think Locked On NFL Draft, and I want to say, what was it? It was another draft, NFL scouting and draft podcast, but
draft dudes.
No, but I think ND scouting, I think they are also on board with that.
Yeah. There's just a lot of things that line up with players that Belichick likes, you know, like what Chris Hogan, lacrosse player, like, okay.
Wait, he played lacrosse? I never heard that. Weird.
He did. So just a lot of things that kind of the lines that you see kind of matching up. So, and John, you asked me, would they take a quarterback in the second round? Would that pick? It depends. I mean, if we see four or five quarterbacks go in the first round, which is, I think, completely possible, you know, they may find themselves in a position where, hey, you know what, Brian Hoyer is your backup. Like, okay. And Tom Brady is going to be 41 years old next season.
I just didn't realize he was at a second-round NFL draft pick status. I mean,
so here's the thing. The Pats don't care about
what everybody else does.
They don't. I mean, they have a history of taking players Like, when they took Jordan Richards in the second round, I was like, who? Like, I had never heard of the kid. They take guys that they don't, that they value differently than everyone else. It's kind of like they're playing chess while everyone else plays checkers. And sometimes that works, and sometimes it doesn't. Because you take guys like Jordan Richards in the second round, or you take, there's been a myriad of cornerbacks that they've taken in the second round that it did not pan out. You take Aaron Dobson, things like that just don't work.
Asante Samuel.
Well, Asante Samuel was good. His kid's his
kid's a high recruit that is going to Florida State, I think.
Go Noles. You know it. the Pats don't care. If they love a player, they will take him. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, it's funny because you said that he would be a perfect fit for the Patriots, and I had Kyle Letta written down, and I'm like, okay, so guy that like nobody's heard of all of a sudden comes out, and you know where he's going to go. He's going to go to New England. Like, you could totally see them drafting him or Mike White, and all of a sudden, this guy's the next Patriots quarterback, and that hype will just be through the roof.
Oh, yeah. He'll be a nice super flex pick for somebody.
Oh, yeah.
You can play him in 4 years when Brady maybe retires.
you can play him in 2 years when they trade him to another team and he bombs out immediately.
Well, no, they won't trade him on his rookie deal unless it's an expiring one and he's going to get big money. So they'll be
no, because like he'll come in a week 17 when Brady's they've already got it clinched. He'll come in, he'll look great, and somebody will be like, "Oh my God, we'll give you a first round pick for him," and they'll be like, "Sure."
No, they'll say no, and then eventually they'll get a second-round pick like they do with Garoppolo. Idiots. Anyway, let's move on. John, did you have any other risers or fallers that you wanted to cover?
All right, so I don't know if he's really a riser because he was already pretty high, but I think I'm going to jump on board with Tyler, and I really was impressed with James Washington.
J-Dubs, I knew it was coming.
Oh, my God, the arms.
I didn't think that 103 was the right price for him. That seemed too high. And literally, even if he goes to Baltimore, I think I still am on board with him. He looked good. Now, granted, this is recency bias because we're not seeing Cortland Sutton. You know, he wasn't there to compare him, which is why everybody should go to the Senior Bowl because it makes everything more fun. But
true.
As of right now, I can't argue with Tyler that James Washington belongs right there at 103. I think that's where Tyler's moved him up to, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
I was not jumping on board with that a week ago, but after his Senior Bowl, I can see it and have no problem.
Yeah, and he didn't really do much of anything in the Senior Bowl, but the practices all week were like James Washington is torching everyone, and he's a man there. I made the comparison with Tyler earlier. We were talking a little bit about James Washington, and I said if Dez Bryant and Justin Blackmon had a baby, it would be James Washington, because he reminds me a bit of Dez, but like a faster, more athletic version, because he's got the size. Obviously, they went to the same college, so it's kind of a lazy analysis. But if you take the two, and boom, out of a factory, there's James Washington. He's ready to go.
Yeah, and he's 5'11", but he's what, 218 or something like that, 230.
Yeah,
like he's built, and man, those long arms. I was telling Doug he was back for the first kick return, and you can just tell his arms are just way too long for his body shape. And I mean, you think about it, those arms belong on somebody who's like 6'4".
He's got those Rajon Rondo arms, and it's like freakishly long.
And you put that up, up to people who his college teammate who is a faller for me, what's his name, Marcus Atman.
Yep.
And he's got shorter arms than Washington. So you think about it, I would have to say his true size with his arms would probably be what, 6'1", around there, six.
Probably.
Yeah. So I mean, he may be short, but he's got good jumping ability, the wingspan, and yeah, I think he can run every route. From what I saw during the game, he was open on a bunch of plays, but the play wasn't to him. So, yeah. I welcome everybody to the James Washington train.
Choo-choo, we're leaving the station. Tyler, what do you got for risers or fallers left on your list?
I'm just going to give you a handful.
Sounds good.
Ito Smith, he looks like a good scat back type guy. Michael Gallup, I wasn't a huge fan. I went into the game kind of pessimistic, but 3 for 60, and he looked pretty good. And a lot
and
of
he practiced
be,
well
he
this
seemed
week
to be
from
open,
what I heard.
Yeah, and he seemed to be open a lot to the point where he got more targets than I mean, he only had 3 catches, you said.
Yep.
Yeah. It seemed like he was getting open enough to get thrown to frequently.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. He's a guy that's kind of rising in my mind, kind of like Rashad Penny. I had Mike Gesicki, Penn State tight end. Still love him. He went 3 for 39. DJ Chark.
Yep, I have him written down. Yep.
Field stretcher.
Oh, man. Like, he is thin as a rail. He is a skinny man. But, I mean, Robbie Anderson, he showed that if you're skinny and tall, you can do crazy things. Like
his landing spot would be interesting to me, because if he goes in the right team, that could be an interesting pick.
Yep. And this is a shout out to a friend of my network, Traquan Smith. He's a huge fan of him out of University of Central Florida. He had good practices and kind of flew under the radar. And then Baker Mayfield, I thought he rose up huge for me. The size questions and also just the play. I love his attitude. Like, when Josh Rosen was making plays, he was so hyped for him. Man, like
Josh Allen.
Yeah, no, Josh Allen. Yeah,
He gave him the attaboy on the bum a couple times.
Yeah, and I love seeing that out of Baker. I mean, he was more hyped when he was off the field than Josh Allen was when Josh Allen was on the field. So, and my fallers are Alan Lazard. He went 2 for 7, but he is slow. Ooh, he's not going to run good.
Maybe it'll be a tight end. Ricky Seals Jones-esque.
And at first, Akram Wadley, the size worried me, but man, like he seems
like
a guy.
He didn't look that. I mean, I know he measured in small, but you look at him and I'm like, he didn't look that small.
He's a guy that I think is just a football player, a guy that knows how to play football. And I mean, everybody's knocking him, man. All he does is fall over for his pass protection. I don't think he's gonna have to in the NFL. I literally think.
Yeah, they
want to
get him
it.
In space. They're not going to have him like, hey, get in there and block. They're going to try to get him open in space, dump offs, things like that.
Yep. And I think he's going to be all right. He's going to be a third down guy. I don't think he's ever going to be a...
Yeah, it's like Danelle Pumphrey. Like, they're not going to ask, hey, Pumphrey, can you pick up this blitzing linebacker? Like, no.
Well, I was not a fan of Pumphrey. He's way too small. But, I mean,
just an example.
Wadley's literally almost 20 pounds heavier than him.
He's got... He's built pretty well, too. Like, he's muscular.
Yep. And think about this. Pumphrey went in the 4th round. Akram Wadley is pretty much the same player, just heavier. So you'd think, what,
and he'll
fourth?
Go in the, he'll go mid-5th, probably.
Yeah. And my last drop is Berrios from Miami, the small slot receiver, you know, the typical white slot guy. I liked him coming in, but, man, he had a hard time during practice. The game, he was just sloppy. He looked like a guy that just gave up, and I didn't like seeing that. I think he got frustrated with himself and kind of just threw in the towel, because from what I saw, these guys need full effort every play, and I didn't see it out of them. So he's definitely falling for me.
Gotcha. John, did you have any other final thoughts on risers and fallers?
Yeah, I think we covered everybody that we had written down. I did have a little bit of a different take on Baker. I liked him, but for a different reason. Basically, I liked how he handled the guy on Twitter that was like, oh, Baker Mayfield's not showing up, being a prima donna, all that. And he basically just responded to him and said, like, my mom was in the hospital. Like, what do you know? But he didn't come, like, to me, that showed...
He did it in a respectful way.
He did it, yes. Yeah. And that's... to me,
well, because everyone's because you have one writer that's comparing him to Johnny Manziel, you'd think he would have came out and like blasted the guy, but he's like, hey, like this is what happened.
Correct. Yeah. He didn't do that. He didn't, you know, crotch grab at the guy.
That we saw.
So at least, yeah. I mean, and that's a step. We didn't see it. Even if he did it, we didn't see it. That's a step in the right direction.
That
you know, the maturity factor is what everybody questions.
I think Baker is a leader of men, and that's. One of the top traits you want to find in any quarterback prospect is you want a guy that can lead a team. Like a Jameis Winston, as much as you might not like him for this, that, and the other thing, you look at all the stuff.
He's ready to eat
Jameis,
a W.
He's going to eat a whole W for you. Who eats W's? Jameis does. Maybe next year. But that's just a guy that can rally the team around him and create some passion from his players that want to fight for that guy. And I think that Baker is that player.
Yeah, he's probably the guy, like, opposing teams are all going to hate, just absolutely hate. Mm-hmm. They're going to want to kill him. But the guys that are on his team,
they're going to love
him. They are. They're going to love him. Like,
and that's what matters.
And I'm okay with that. And I liked that he handled it professionally. You know, the best response probably would have been no response at all. But if you're going to respond, which, let's face it, these kids are 19, 20, 20, you know, they're in that age where you respond. Like, on social media, you respond. Yeah. That's part of their life. It's what they've done. They're not going to change that. But the fact that he did it in a way that didn't cause a big issue.
A ruckus, right.
Yes. To me, I like that. And I think that's, like, that checks a box of maybe he's learning that he has to be a little more professional. So that to me is something that's a positive for him.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. You guys pretty much touched on most of the names that I had, so I don't really have anything left for the Senior Bowl. So some great analysis there on some risers and fallers. It was definitely a fun exercise. It was a fun game to watch, especially with all the scoring in the second half.
Really better than watching that Pro Bowl. Ugh.
I didn't watch it. So go me, winner.
I turned it off after 3 minutes just because it's terrible. Get rid of it. Done.
Okay, so I turned it on. We were getting ready to
expanded skills competition. That's all I gotta say.
Yes, those are way better. I was getting ready to go to my son's basketball game. I was the only one ready, and my son. We were ready to go. We were waiting on some others to leave. So I turned it on, just thinking, oh, I got a few minutes. You know, I'm just sitting here doing nothing. I might as well watch it. It was so bad. It was pouring. Like, why do they play that game in a place where it is that kind of condition? And it just makes the game not fun to watch physically. Mm-hmm. But then just the lack of, like, they don't try and tackle anyways, which I get. But if you're not going to try and tackle, like, what's the point? I mean, the refs blow the whistle.
They should just play flag football.
That was my exact suggestion. I actually, like, tweeted that out to somebody. Like, I'd rather see that, mm-hmm. because then they actually have to do something. I mean, at this point, they're playing two-hand touch. Like, they touch a guy, the refs blow that whistle.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Which is
fine.
It's
a terrible product.
I don't want my players getting hurt in the Pro Bowl. But, like, flag football, there would be at least, like, some level of competition.
Like, someone dives and misses a flag and he goes in for a touchdown. At least there's some competition level there.
Yes, it'd be kind of fun. And maybe the players would, you know, they all have a competitive personality.
And you could do, like, a 7-on-7, so you could actually put, like, a D lineman at, like, out split out wide as a tight end, more or less. That would be fun. Like, just mix it up.
If it's not going to be actual football, which it shouldn't, mm-hmm. like, don't even bother trying to pass
take,
it off.
Take some notes from what the NHL does. Like, they mix it up every few years.
Oh, the 3-on-3. Oof. I love that in the NHL. The All-Star game.
The NFL should adopt some sort of new rules to make it more fun. Like, because that's exactly what the XFL is going to do.
7-on-7. You know, flag football or something like that. Like you said, expand mm-hmm. it, expand the skill games and all that. So yeah, it was bad.
I like
Harrison Smith with a pick six, and he ran through like 10 tackles, maybe.
Well, tackles quotation fingers. We're gonna use on that one.
Gust of winds.
All right, so let's move on to the Dynasty Happy Hour Mock Draft 1.0. So what we're going to do here is I'm going to run through the first round real quick, and then we're actually going to spend a little bit more time on our second round, because I think there's been quite a few, round one mocks out there, and it's a lot of the same names. So we're going to spend a little bit more time in our second round. So you guys ready for me to count down this first round?
Do it.
Let's do it.
All right, so pick 1-1, which was actually made by myself. Pretty much a no-brainer. I took Saquon Barkley out of Penn State. At the 1-2, it was Darius Geis, running back from the LSU Tigers. At 1-3, it was Cortland Sutton. 1-4 was Nick Chubb from Georgia. 1-5 was James Washington, who we talked about earlier this evening with Oklahoma State. One six was Calvin Ridley from Alabama. 1-7 was Sony Michel, also from Georgia. 1-8 was Ronald Jones II from the USC Trojans. 1-9 was Auden Tate, wide receiver from those Go Noles. And then 1-10, we had Equanimeous St. Brown, the funnest name to say in all of the draft from Notre Dame. 112 to wrap up the first round was Royce Freeman, running back from Oregon, which is a bit of a surprise. I think there's a very split camp on Royce Freeman from what I've seen.
And that's,
so that was,
that's Jacob's guy. So I understand that.
He
pick.
Took his
Jacob,
guy. Yeah.
Jacob is a big believer in Royce.
And that was fine because I had the 2-1 and I took my guy. So at the 2-1, we'll slow down here a little bit and we'll talk more second round. But that was the first round. So you can always check that out on dynastyhappyhour.com. There was a great article written this week by Mr. Dwight Peebles. Came out and wrote a recap, spent the time to do that. So thank you, Dwight, for doing that. Shout out to you for doing a nice job on the recap. At the 2-1, because we didn't snake, it was just, you know, we stick with the picks with each round that we went. And we did go four rounds, but we're going to highlight the second round here tonight. I took 2-1. I took Kalen Ballage, running back out of Arizona State. You obviously heard me earlier gush about what I thought about Ballage. And, you know, one of the things that Dwight wrote up is that he is rising up draft boards, killing the Senior Bowl activities. He's got electric big play ability, possesses rare size and speed combo, but he's been plagued by inconsistent play in his career, which is pretty much spot on. So, yeah, I had to go and take my guy. I'm very much in the class of if there's a guy that I like, I will take him, even if there's maybe a player that everyone else's board says is better. I'm going to ride or die with my guy, and that's how we do it. So that was my 2-1. Any thoughts on that, guys, at all for Ballage?
I had him pegged in the first round, so I love that. And I think that's going to be a steal coming into kind of the combine time. I think around draft, it's going to drop again, but I think combine time, it's going to be very low.
Yeah. And I agree with that. So at the 2-2, it was Christian Kirk, wide receiver from the Texas A&M Aggies. I like Christian Kirk quite a bit. So I actually like this spot for him based on some of the other players that got picked around him. Tyler, do you have any thoughts on Christian Kirk at all? Have you done any research on Kirk or film on him?
I've watched a couple games, and he seems to me like a souped-up Jarvis Landry. If he can, like, I don't think he's got the hands like him. Like, Jarvis has incredible hands, but
yes, he won the drone drop again this year.
Yeah, and I have no idea how people can do that because that ball is moving all over.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he's fast, he's got good cutting ability, 5-star recruit. I mean, everybody says that, 5-star guy coming out of high school. Mm-hmm. And he produced
productive.
He produced. I like him. I think he's gonna be a first round pick when it comes to Ooh. It okay. And I mean, if he slips a second, I think it's going to be a huge steal for people because I think in the NFL draft, he is an early second round pick. And I think those players are players to look at and kind of more team based. So we, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, I like him. I like the skill set.
Okay. John, you can chime in at any time if you have any thoughts on any of the players too.
Well, we've only gone through two in the second round. So
okay.
Far.
I just didn't know if you had any thoughts on Christian Kirk at all. So. Feel free.
No, I think I kind of agree with Tyler. I actually think he might end up being a back end round one pick. I don't know that Equanimeous stays in the first round. I could kind of see those two flip-flopping spots. Mm-hmm. I could also see Kalen Ballage and Royce Freeman flip-flopping spots.
Sure.
But neither of these guys, I mean, they're not far apart here. I mean, it's the last two in the first round, first two in the second round. So I could see those going either way. We haven't gotten down to the guy that I think was a steal in the second round where he got taken.
Gotcha. Well, we'll make our way down there. And when we do, you shout it out. So at the 2-3, we had Simi Cobbs Jr., wide receiver out of the Indiana. And, you know, he's a big kid, 6'4", 220. Should be a red zone target. I haven't done any film on Mr. Simi Cobbs, which is a weird name. It just reminds me of anything Cobb reminds me of just fantasy players that didn't work out, like David Cobb and Randall Cobb. And if you're really old school and you get this reference, Reggie Cobb, that's a big high five from me.
He was on like Super Tecmo Bowl.
Yes. See, John, high five.
I can remember just the name being up there. What team did he even play for?
I think he played for Tampa.
That's what I was thinking too.
Yeah.
It was Tampa.
I don't know why. High five to you. We're best friends now.
I love that game.
Yeah. So something with the name Cobb and a first name Simi is like, I don't know. It's weird. So I don't know if you guys
Do you think Randall Cobb was a bust? I think he had plenty of productive years.
Yeah. He's been one of the, I don't know, these last few years have been bad. He's probably going to get cut. I don't know. I'm just not a big Randall. Like, that, the 10 touchdown year was great. And then the last 3 years, I don't know. There's not a huge Randall Cobb guy at this point. If he can't get it done with Aaron Rodgers the last three seasons, well, say two seasons and change, because Brett Hundley played more than Aaron Rodgers did this year. I don't know. Not a buyer on Randall Cobb. Let's put it that way. So did you guys have any thoughts on Mr. Simi Cobbs here at the 2-3?
A little early. I mean, he's got the potential. He's a big receiver. I think he's about 220, so he's got the size.
Yeah, he's 220.
But I feel like it's a little early. He might end up being one of those Carlos Henderson. Like, you had the believers, and then you had the people who didn't really believe. But he slipped, and he seems like a guy that could go early third when it all comes down to it.
Sure.
So he could be a guy to watch if he drops far enough.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he goes in the first half of the second rounds.
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe a little bit of a reach there, but maybe it was this guy. Who knows? Let's move on to the 2-4 where we had our first tight end selected, and that's Mark Andrews out of Oklahoma. I'm just going to say this. You know, he's pretty much regarded as the number one tight end in this class. I know last year we had just this overall athletic freak tight end class, but this class is actually shaping up to be a pretty good one. You know, some of the guys didn't play in the Senior Bowl because they had injuries, like Godere didn't play. He's a freak. The kid from UMass is going to be another good prospect. There's just I think there's more tight end prospects in this draft that are going to, you know, as we hit the combine, like, you know, only a few people were, you know, any buzz around George Kittle, and then he killed the combine and everyone's like, whoa, George Kittle. I think we might have some of those guys. Same thing with Adam Shaheen. Like, he got buzz in some of the inner circles because, you know, he's a physical freak, and then he tested really well, and then his name kind of, you know, got pushed to the masses. So I think this tight end class is going to be deeper than a lot of people think. And just like running backs, you're seeing a lot of these super athletic tight ends come into the league, which is going to mean that a lot of these veterans are going to struggle to find jobs here in 2018, I think, because, you know, you're probably 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 tight ends deep in this draft. And it'll be interesting to see how they test, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Sounds like Doug's weekend.
Yes. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's a much deeper class than everyone is kind of letting on at the moment.
Doug, we got another head shake from John. We got another
that's
one.
That's fine. I don't have the video pulled up right now.
One of these days you'll have to do like a head shake count.
And we'll do a recap at the end. And this episode provided 17 head shakes from John Pott.
17. I think, yes, that is a new record. Like, pull up some weird NFL stat. You know, on Sunday nights in 2017, John Bosch had 85 head shakes altogether. That is
That's an elite level head shake. That's a lot of calories burned, John. All that head shaking. Do you guys agree that Mark Andrews is the number one tight end on the board here?
Oh, big time. I think he's basically a tier of his own.
Okay.
To the point where he's one of the guys that I think he went a little bit late in this draft. It's only 204, but here's the scenario that I think could easily happen. And I'm going to go ahead and lump in Josh Rosen as well.
Sure.
If there is a guy at 112 that basically has that need for tight end or has aging quarterbacks, I don't like taking either a quarterback or a tight end in the first round, really, unless they're, you know, Evan Ingram, OJ Howard, you know, they're that much value right off the bat. But if you're at the 112 and you kind of need that position, like, I don't have a problem taking either of these guys. The quarterback, what's the worst that could happen? If he busts, yeah, it's a complete bust. But if he doesn't, look at a guy like Deshaun Watson.
The value.
That value at least held. So the worst thing that you could have gotten is a first round pick for Deshaun Watson a year after you take him, you know?
Right.
So, like, it feels wrong to take a tight end or a quarterback right there. But with these two guys, I mean, especially if Rosen goes to New York, like, that feels like such a great spot.
And there's offensive weapons around him. Yeah, absolutely.
You're getting like an insulated value to the point where it doesn't feel like a risky pick. And I kind of get that feeling with Mark Andrews too, just because I think he is not only the number one in the class, he's number one and above every other option is what it feels like. Like, it feels like there's a significant teardrop from him to, you know, the rest of the tight ends.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think that's very well put. Tyler, any thoughts on Andrews at all? Or
I like him as a tight end. I mean, you hear that he was an old receiver. He gained, I think it was like 30-plus pounds. So he knows the route tree. And he's big enough to be an inline tight end. But the way it sounds, they want to use him kind of like an Evan Ingram. So he's a guy that might not be asked to block, but still could because he's big. Mm-hmm. I like him. I don't know if he's that mind-blowing talent like we had last year, but we'll see at the combine. But he's been pretty hyped for about a year and a half now. And
yeah, he has.
And yeah, I mean, we'll have to see his measurables and all that. But if the guy can play, I'll take him.
Day. All right, let's move on to the 2-5. We've got wide receiver Anthony Miller from the Memphis Tigers. I actually like Anthony Miller quite a bit. You know, very productive the last couple of years, 1,400 yards each season, 33 touchdowns combined. Yeah, I mean, not kind of under the radar because he plays for Memphis. It's not like they have this elite football program. but just a really, really big play kind of guy, and he plays with a fierce tenacity, as Dwight points out. And I agree with that. You know, just a guy that's not going to go down on first contact. He's physical, which I love to see. I love players that fight like a Jarvis Landry. Like, there's just that fight in them. They keep moving. And I think Anthony Miller is that type. So at the 2-5 here, I think this is actually a pretty good spot for Miller. What say you, Tyler?
Well, I'm the one that drafted him. And what I see is a football player. He played for...
He's a wide receiver and he plays football?
Well, he's a guy that is just a football player. He went to Memphis. He's going
he's
to
got,
be...
He's got that extra oomph.
He's got the oomph, and he's
right,
got the looks.
That's what we need to hear. He's like Vidal Sassoon. He's got the look. Or is
he's
that Roxette?
That's Roxette.
That's Roxette.
Come on, Doug. Yes.
I'm seeing multiple head shakes. I don't even have the video up of John Bosch right now.
No, there's multiple head shakes our bar tab league has been going nuts with trades. But to get back to Anthony Miller, he's a small guy. He's a guy that actually weighs in. He's beefed up for his size. He's 5'11", 185, 190. So he's around Christian Kirk. Kirk might be a little heavier. But, I mean, what I like about Miller is he can play the outside. He's a guy that can run on the outside. I would probably comp him to Tyler Lockett in the aspect of Lockett was phenomenal for Kansas State coming out, and he had tons and tons of hype. Just injuries caught up to him, and he never really fully broke out. And I think if Miller does, he's one of those guys that needs a hit within 2 years. Otherwise, I don't think it's going to happen. So I like him. I actually think he's going to fall lower than this because he's kind of been a guy going more under the radar again. But Travis May, who we had on from Dynasty Life, he likes him as well. I like what I've seen out of him. I think he's going to do really well at the combine. So I think he'll be a third round pick in the NFL draft.
Gotcha. I can see that happening. So let's move on to the 2-6, and that was wide receiver Michael Gallup, who we talked about a little bit earlier from their Senior Bowl recap for the Colorado State Rams. I don't know much about Michael Gallup. I haven't really done any kind of film work on him yet. So I think there's probably some other players that I would have picked at this spot, and that's okay. For a wide receiver, I think, you know, in the way that the wide receivers fall, I don't think this is a bad spot for him amongst the other wide receivers, but I think it's a little high for me overall when we talk about Gallup. John, do you have any thoughts about the Gallup, which I want to make a horse joke, but I won't.
He's got some giddy up.
No, geez.
There we go.
Yes.
Now you're gonna get audio. Now they're gonna try it. Now I'm gonna have to try and be a statue to make sure that I don't give them the satisfaction of forcing the head shake, I guess. Yeah, I actually think that's the right spot for him. I think the second round is gonna be filled with a lot of wide receivers that you're gonna have to take a chance on. And you know,
take a chance.
I'm not going to be able to say any words at this point because they're all going to turn into
Mamma Mia podcast.
Oh, my.
Oh, my God. We just need John Travolta, right?
All right, so back to the mock draft.
We should probably quit horsing around, guys.
Oh, jeez. That one I like, Doug.
Thank you.
Wow. See, I do smile as I shake.
I guess you could say that's the main joke.
Oh man. I'm hating Michael Gallup more by the second. Like,
yeah, we're just beating
awful.
Him like a dead horse.
Yeah, like exactly. Two coconuts banged together. Let's get through this.
All right, you guys done? No, so I think the way I'm looking at the mock drafts, I'm going to try and build running back in the first round, wide receiver in the second round. The order of them, I don't know at this point. It feels pretty interchangeable, but yeah. I think Michael Gallup, Anthony Miller, both are in the middle. We're getting closer to the guy that I think should be higher.
Okay.
The wide receiver that I think should be higher. Should we just go there?
Could you find him in the club?
I think I know what his name is. You can mention him. We'll just
There you go. Okay, now I get your reference in the club. There you go. Okay. So yeah, it's DJ Moore. The more I'm reading about him more and more. I think I would take him above Simi Cobbs, Anthony Miller, and Michael Gallup.
Okay.
So that's where I would kind of switch out the wide receivers. I think that he was taken a little bit too late. But I don't know that the other guys are really like super early. I don't think any of them are reaches. Mm-hmm. I think this is the area where they're all going to end
up.
Yeah,
that they'll eventually
unless
fall.
Unless we have terrible information, something happens, they blow the combine, you know, get busted for pot, something like that, obviously. But as it stands now, it feels like the right range for most of those wide receivers.
Gotcha. Let's move on. Let's move on with a little bit more. We'll speed it up a little bit here. This one was kind of a surprise to me. At the 2-7, it was Kerryon Johnson from Auburn, the running back. And I was surprised because I thought he fell pretty late. I've seen his mocks sometimes in the first round. And there's some people that absolutely love this kid. And I like him a lot, too. To see him at 2-7, I was like, whoo, that's good. That's hashtag good value. So yeah, I love Johnson in that spot, to be perfectly honest, especially, you know, two picks from now at the 2-9, we have a running back where I was kind of a bit of a head scratcher, to where he got picked. So any thoughts on, Kerryon Johnson? Kerryon, my wayward son, Johnson.
He's a guy I need to watch more. But man, from what I've seen, he could be DeMarco Murray or he could be Latavius Murray. And depending on if you're a fan of Latavius, I mean, that could be a win-win-win. But I – there's another head shake. Yes. All right. And
I like that reference too, but it just felt like you were trying too hard.
And with DeMarco was a guy I liked coming out. Then I just – it bugged me more and more, his running style. So if he – does well in the combine, he's a guy I might change my thought on, but I don't know. He's a guy I'm kind of in the dark, in a gray area. I'm in a bad place with Kerryon Johnson.
Gotcha. I think he'll come around as we go through the hashtag process. I think he'll be okay. So let's move on to the 2-8, and that was our first quarterback taken. That was Josh Rosen of the UCLA Bruins. John, what do you? So you had some thoughts on tight end and quarterback. What do you think about the first quarterback going? I mean, we didn't do a super flex draft. This is just a standard. But the first quarterback going at 2-8, is that too high, too low? Is it just right? Is it like porridge? Like, what are we talking about here?
To me, I don't even care if it's single quarterback. If I get Josh Rosen at the 2-8, I will be happy. I will take him, put him on my roster, and then as soon as there's a quarterback needy team, I will say, you know what? Looks like your team is bad.
Stock market Bosch.
You don't have a quarterback. If I can get a 2.01 next year for him, I think his value could only go up. I mean, quarterbacks are tough to trade in some leagues. They basically have no value, no matter how good they are. But I would love to get him at 2-8, even in a single quarterback league. For me, that's too cheap for a guy that's going to have a solid, solid career. You know, if he goes to the Giants, I want that guy that's throwing to Evan Ingram, OBJ, Sterling Shepard. I want him for the entirety of his career. I know people don't invest in quarterbacks, but in single quarterback, if you lock down that position, it allows you so much more flexibility to just do whatever you want with so many other picks. Mm-hmm. You're not wasting every single third and fourth round pick. just trying to put a flyer out there and hoping to get a quarterback. I'd rather get a sure thing there, lock up that one, the onesie position, and then use my third and fourths for flyers on wide receivers and running backs where you have to have such a higher volume. That's just how I approach it. So I would have taken him earlier if I had the chance at it.
Yeah, I like that stance.
If you did that onesie position, I mean, you could really snuggle up and just watch everything else.
I had a feeling there was going to be a onesie joke.
he forced it in there. Got it in there.
That's what she said.
I could make a joke that, you know what? I am going to make a joke that piggybacks off that. So at the 2-9, we had Akram Swadley. Swaddle. It's bad. Akram Wadley, the running back from Iowa, who we talked about a little bit in the Senior Bowl with his size and everything, was the 2-9. To me, there was a lot of running backs, not a lot, but probably three or four running backs that I like better than him here. Because like we said earlier, we think he's going to be more of like a third down role, you know, that predominantly a pass catcher, which in the NFL, there's just a lot of them. So it depends on where he lands. So not a huge fan of the pick here. But, you know, there was guys that I like that I would rather take a flyer on, you know, maybe like even like a Bo Scarborough, if it's a running back position, a John Kelly from Tennessee, guys like that, that I like, I think have a higher upside than Wadley does. What do you guys think on that?
I could see him as like a Chris Thompson. I don't think he's as well-rounded as Theoretic, so I don't like that comp. Mm-hmm. But Chris Thompson, I could see, because Thompson is tiny. Like, you see him on the field, and he is a small dude, and I could see Wadley like him. I think Thompson has better top speed, but Wadley probably has better agility in the open field. Mm-hmm. So they're similar yet different. So I could probably comp those two. We're in the comping season, so why the heck not comp them to somebody, right?
It is comp season. It's like the holidays in retail. You're comping against your year before. This is like our holidays in retail, is draft season.
Yeah.
So I like it. All right, let's move on to the 210. John talked about him just a few minutes ago, and that was DJ Moore, the wide receiver from Maryland. Do you guys have any other thoughts on Moore? I think he's going to be one of these guys that starts to rise up boards as we start to go further into the process.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I mean, I already touched on him, but yeah. I like him. He's not going to be there at 210 by the time the rookie drafts roll around.
He's a guy that, I mean, is going to – I'm going to need to watch more on him, but, I mean, same college. He could be a Stephon Diggs-type player. I mean, when I watch limited highlights of him, like, I don't like watching highlights because it's all the best plays.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you don't see any negatives.
But, I mean, from what I saw, it was like I was watching Diggs in Maryland. So, I mean, they're very similar sized.
Yep. Cool. Well, let's move on to the 211, and that was Deion Kane, the wide receiver from Clemson. This is a guy that was really hyped probably end of last year. They won the national title. You know, the Clemson had some players move on, Mike Williams, and then Deion Kane was supposed to be this stud, you know, big role, and it didn't kind of work out for him this year. I think the talent is still there, and I think that if he has a really nice combine, his stock is going to rise as well, because he's a big-time recruit. Clemson is pretty much like wide receiver U right now. Like, everyone's coming out of Clemson and doing well. You know, not that necessarily matters player per player, but a lot of people have that perception of like, oh, he's a Clemson wide receiver. He must be good because they had DeAndre Hopkins and Martavis Bryant and Mike Williams, if he's ever going to be a thing. We don't know. But Deion Kane, I like his skill set. It'll be interesting, his landing spot. But I think if he has a really nice combine, then his stock is going to go up. Any thoughts on Dean Kane?
he was lucky to get to be with Terry Hatcher.
True.
Yeah. Not a bad job to show up to work with her every day, right?
No, not at all. She was pretty elite back in the day.
So Deion Kane, I echo what you say, Doug. I can't believe that he's not getting drafted higher. I mean, granted, the people doing this mock are probably doing some research for the wide receivers, but in general, I think in just, you know, like your regular league, name value alone, the fact that he went to Clemson is going to push him higher than... Mm-hmm. In the what was it, the 211?
So, yeah, he's a 211.
Yeah, I think he's going to end up getting up higher just based on the fact that he came from Clemson. And you're right, people's expectations are going to be, oh, he's a Clemson receiver. He's just going to follow that line.
Yeah, and a lot of people just, you know, they mind meld with these pre-existing narratives, especially if they don't put in the work. They'll just be like, oh, well, he's a Clemson receiver. He's good. So
I'm not taking him early second round, but I think I would guess that's where he's going
to
be taken.
He could jump mid to early.
And that's fine.
Potentially.
I'll let people take him, and I'll take DJ Moore right after that and be very happy.
Yeah, I would be too. That'd be a nice spot. I would say Equanimeous might fall this far. Ooh. Tyler's mad.
You think he'll fall this far? I don't know.
There's gonna be, you know what? God damn it, there's gonna be a Malachi Dupree in this draft.
Oh my god, he just falls completely out of everywhere.
He gets picked in like the seventh round, no one saw it coming, and then everyone's like, oh. I don't know.
Devi shares just burned.
Oh yeah, just totally just lighting money on fire and throwing it out the window.
I had two Devi shares of him beginning of December, and I have zero shares now.
There you go.
God, see, and he's a guy that I grabbed just off of waiver wires when he got inevitably cut this year, and I'm like, God, he's got to latch on somewhere. That
Buffalo.
Just completely,
he's with Buffalo.
Couldn't have just completely disappeared, but
yeah, that injury in preseason,
because
it was a wrap.
He's nothing.
A wrap. So, yeah. Get it?
He will be on every waiver wire next year.
Oh, absolutely. So to wrap up our second round, we had running back Josh Adams from Notre Dame. So Tyler, I know you're a Notre Dame guy. Well, former Notre Dame guy, now a Florida State Seminole guy.
I still kind of am. Penn State, Notre Dame, Florida State, University of Minnesota. But yeah, I mean.
Talk to me about Josh Adams.
He's a big dude that can catch speed in the open field. But man, does he need a good runway to get going. He is a guy that you think Derrick Henry needs some space to get going. Josh Adams is the poor man Derrick Henry, so he needs about 5 to 10 more yards of space just to get that body moving. Mm-hmm. But when he gets going, there's no secondary player that can actually bring him down on first contact. So I think he's a guy that was very hyped at first. He's a Heisman hopeful. I think he might have been a finalist, like the finals, so many chosen, but he was close. He had a great year, but all that team did was run. They had a great offensive line. I mean, their guard is probably one of the
meanest.
They're
going to have a top five pick. Yeah.
Yep.
I forget
the guard,
his name because I don't really scout offensive linemen. But
even the offensive tackle will probably be a top 20 pick. So I think their left side of their line was just unbelievable. And yeah, I think Adams is a guy that's going to actually be forgotten. And he could be a free agent pickup, no joke, by the end of all of
this. Like an Elijah Hood?
Yeah, a guy that was super hyped. Kind of Debbie people might have got excited towards the beginning of the year. But yeah, I don't think he's going to be anything. He's huge. And he has a little lateral ability, but I don't think it's enough for him to win or succeed in the NFL. He might be like a Josh Hill type guy.
Like the tight end?
No. The running
Jeremy
back. No. The running back from Atlanta that got drafted this year out of Wyoming.
Oh, and now he's with Cincinnati.
Yes.
Brian Hill?
Brian Hill, there
Brian
it is.
Brian Hill, that's it.
Yeah.
He's like Josh Hill, what?
Yeah, but...
Gotcha.
Yeah, he's a guy that, like Brian McKnight Hill, so...
Ooh, that smooth R&B type of runner, but he doesn't run smooth.
No.
He's more crunchy peanut butter than smooth.
Oh, yeah. Extreme.
I'm going to have to ask Jacob about him, because I think I would have taken John Kelly right there if I was going to go running back. So Jacob's the running back guy, so I think I'm going to
maybe he knows something.
That's what exactly. Like, why did he take Josh Adams right there? I think I'd have gone John Kelly. Hmm.
Yep. And also,
I'm going to have to ask Jacob and find out why.
Yep. And he will be coming off more running back articles in the future at dynastyhappyhour.com, which everybody should go to. You know, we got...
Absolutely. That's going to wrap us up. Yeah, that's going to wrap us up for our second round rookie draft. If you guys had any final thoughts before we sign off here, let it rip.
No, just the Listener League coming up. You guys, this Listener League is a best ball, and it is going to be awesome. John and Doug are in it.
Yep.
And it's a 16-teamer. Which is going to be very fun. Now, we have 15 spots filled. We need to get the other two. If you need to go back and listen to remember, go back to last episode because I cannot. my math's off.
Can we go back on the math part?
It's 14 teams that have signed in. We need two more. Thanks, John, to let me know my...
Tyler math.
Gabe. Where's Gabe when you need him?
But Simple no. Jack over here.
Love that movie. It's so good.
Did you make my eyes rain?
You need to go listen to the last episode and to make sure if you've made it, because I'm not going to spend 5 minutes on reading every single one. But if you haven't, come to me and emailed me or even DM'd me on Twitter. Do that, please, so I can get you in. We are going to give you a week, and then we're going to just kind of raffle off the last two for the people who aren't in and have left a review afterwards, the extras that we talked about. So please get that to us. The league is on MFL. And let's be honest, MFL is amazing. I don't have to promote it that much, but
MyFantasyLeague.com.
Yes. John Bosch couldn't be where he is today without MFL.
Where exactly?
They actually pay part of his mortgage. Fun fact.
That is true.
They do not. I think I pay them way more. I'm pretty sure they've gotten way more money from me. But
John paid for the site.
Every penny I send them is so worth it, because it saves me hours and hours, probably days, probably saves me days of work in a year. The fact that I can do stuff on MFL versus stuff that I used to have to do on Yahoo and try and keep on Excel sheets and stuff. I have told all my leagues, like, we are going to MFL. We are going to pay that fee. We're not going to have a free league on Yahoo. And if anybody's against that, then guess what? You're going to pay me for the amount of time that it takes me to do this extra work. And it's
Yahoo doesn't track any of that stuff. Yeah.
I will literally start a timer, and at the end of the year, I will send you all a bill for how many hours I spent, and it's going to be way more than $5 a person for an MFL league.
Yep.
Needless to say, we've all switched over there.
Now, we do have three new reviews, and I will read them really quick. One is by Heisman10, and that is Brian Heiser, who's already in the first listener league. So, Brian, I am sorry to inform you.
Greedy.
Yeah. But the review is very nice.
We have a Voxer requirement for the second league as well, right?
I have been listening to the podcast for 3 years and is the one of my top ones every week. I also love the new website. Thank you.
Nice.
And the next one is Move to Number One Podcast by Tyler Watson. Number one, you guys. That's
pretty high praise.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if there's any higher, but if you could try to get us higher,
Tyler, there's that math thing again.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Make my eyes run.
Please. I've been playing Dynasty for about 4 years. Very competitive league. I used to listen to a ton of podcasts and quickly figured out I needed to narrow it down. I chose ESPN Fantasy Football, Dynasty Nerds, and Dynasty Happy Hour in that order. Now, wow. I never miss an episode and hard to listen to the others. This podcast backs everything up with facts. That's all we are is facts, right, guys?
Oomph. That's a very factual term.
We give the oomph in this podcast. And if not, they clearly state it's just a hunch. We should have that.
A gut feeling, if you will.
Yeah, or an oomph feeling.
I got oomph feeling.
Should listen to the Gut Feels podcast, too. They're fun.
Always entertaining, and a huge shout-out to Tyler, because he has the same name. It's a great one. It's fantastic. Keep up the good work, gentlemen. And you, too. Thanks for listening. Now, I'm going to read this off in the delicious dish from SNL voice. I should. Hi, I'm Pete Schwede. No, this is from Only Here for FF. Fun podcast, lots of information. Really enjoy the back and forth between the hosts. Very evident that they're enjoying what they do. They also provide lots of information. They do a good job focusing on their topics, on what Dynasty owners are thinking about. While other pods are talking 2017 stats, this pod is focusing on incoming rookies and how to acquire picks. Appreciate the information. Well, when you got the stock market guru with you, John Bosch, I mean,
that's, John Bitcoin.
Yeah, John Bitcoin Bosch. I mean, that's all we can talk about.
Johnny Stocks.
But you guys, thank you for the reviews. Seriously, I appreciate it. And once again, starting off 2018 with a huge bang. I mean, you guys are showing the support, and I'm overwhelmed with it. And I just want to take a moment and thank everyone for listening. Doug, John, and I, the relationship is still growing. And I feel like we have finally found our gel. And you stick with us because it's going to get even better. If it can't already get any better than one. According to Doug, I don't think it can. So
that is that is the pinnacle, if you will.
So thank you guys once again. I appreciate everything. Whew. And we have shirts coming out. So
what? Yeah. Love it.
Nice, pretty blue shirts. And those should be out within a month. So we'll figure that out. But yeah, they're going to be awesome. If you got the old ones that were gray, these blue ones are going to be blue, but the logo is going to be white and black. So it's going to look sharp.
Very nice. Yeah. So yeah, definitely thank you for everyone for the reviews, for all the kind words. Always very important for us to hear that. You probably won't hear my voice for a little while because I have an action-packed February. So don't fret. I'm not going anywhere. I will be back after my my month-long February of going to New Hampshire for the Super Bowl, Syracuse for a basketball game.
Doug, I'm going to give you the pleasure of announcing our guest because you are super upset that John and I are going to be able to talk to
So yes, there's going to be a couple of guests in my stead while I'm gone for the next four episodes or so. One of those is going to be our Twitter friend Jesse, also known as Calhoun Lambeau, who is doing invaluable work with every draft class that comes out. He's an excellent follow on Twitter. He's going to be on the podcast here in a couple weeks, and he's going to be talking prospects, going to be talking up some of the site stuff that they're working on. He does an awesome, awesome job. So if you're not following, it's at Calhoun Lambeau. Make sure you follow him. And then the week after that, Mike Wright. Is Mike Wright from the Fantasy Footballers, who I've wanted to podcast with for a long time. And John was like, "Hey, get Mike Wright on." And then Tyler's like, "Yeah, he's coming on." And I'm like, "You sons of bitches." I was mad. So I will get my chance to pod with Mike Wright at some point. But it is not going to be this next.
The only way that's going to happen is if John and I are gone. So John, watch your house. Lock your doors.
I'm going to queue up a hitman.
Lock your doors. Shut your windows. Because hide your kids, hide your wife. Doug's coming for you.
I heard hitmen in Ohio are pretty cheap nowadays.
So. I kind of feel like the hitman's on our side in this, right?
Well, because like, Mike Wright is the hitman.
With us.
Is that John's attempt at a joke?
You're out in the cold.
That was John's attempt.
Oh wait, no! Holy moly! Okay, raise your hand if you bought a player while we were podcasting tonight.
I did.
We should probably do this audio version. Oh, I did. Tyler, did you?
Yeah.
How many did you buy?
I don't know.
How many? Because somebody just bought Mike Evans, too.
Oh, I was in the race for that, but all right.
Yep.
You guys.
All right. Got to get out of here.
But yeah, we have those guests coming in. And if Doug misses any more, we might have more. I know there's a couple of people that have been asking to come on for a while. So we might make Doug a little jealous. So if we will have to see.
It's fine. I'll be seething on my cruise while you guys are enjoying your cold weather. Take that.
Damn. So, it's like gross weather, too, where the snow is melting. It's slushy. Yeah.
I'll send many pictures from the beaches for you boys. How's that sound?
Please include just the beach and no nudes.
Nope, I need all
I'm
Doug.
I'm losing weight, you know. I got to show it off.
Still.
I need
no
all
nudes.
Doug.
Oh, man. All right, that's going to wrap us up this week. Thanks for joining us on the Dynasty Happy Hour. I've been your host, Doug Eddy. You can find me on Twitter at DaFantasyFather. You can find Tyler Gunther at DHH_Tyler.
Yeah, you
Yay!
Got it.
And you can also find John, Mr. Bitcoin Bosch himself, at EmpireFFL. Until next time, we'll see you later.
Bye-bye.
Final headset.
That's all the time we have today for the Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. find Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Follow Doug at TheFantasyFather. And finally, John at EmpireFFL. Follow us on Twitter at DynastyHHPod. Music is brought to you by the fantasy hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.